You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Catherine Berry, whose book, But You Are in France, Madame, is a personal account of one family's years of moving to and living in France. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. So tell me a little bit about you and your background and how, when and why you came to move to France.
So I'm a French teacher by profession, French and maths. And I worked in the school system in Australia for a long time, went into management in the school system and then had my own children. And it was really hard in Australia to combine both the dedication that I had for my job and my children, because financially it was very hard to put them all into childcare and keep on working. It was almost as if I was working to pay somebody else to look after my children and not really having much time to spend with them. So it's a big decision for my husband and myself, but I resigned from my position as head of school and started tutoring at home. And it was just a whole series of coincidences. A guy knocked on my door one night and he was selling something to me, but his accent was clearly French. So we started talking and then we sort of kept in contact. And then I had somebody call me who asked me to tutor her. And I said, yeah, that would be fine. But actually what she wanted for me to do was to help her be able to speak French to her newborn or her baby. And I thought, oh, wow, that sounds like a fantastic idea. And I had just had my third child at the time. So whilst I was helping her with speaking French with her child, my husband and I said, well, why don't I do the same for our child? And I don't know, this whole series of coincidences just led to our life in where we were living at the time, which was Melbourne, becoming more French than Australian. And at some point, although I don't remember the exact occasion, we must have said to each other, well, instead of living a kind of pseudo-French life in Australia, why don't we go and live a real French life in France? And so the idea was born, and it took a long time to get to fruition because we had to organize passports and what to do with the children's schooling and all of that sort of thing. So probably from the original idea to going, it was maybe 3 or 4 years. And then once we were in France, and originally we had given ourselves a year, it just became so obvious to us that we loved it too much for it to only be a year. So I had already resigned from my job and my husband resigned from his as well. And so we were two grown adults with three young dependent children and no income. And it was a beautiful time. It's just amazing the freedom that having none of those commitments gives you. But I would put a little rider on that. It's a temporary freedom until you realize that you actually do have to support yourselves. So at that point, my husband started to work for himself and he ended up doing lots of backwards and forwards to Australia.
Gosh, it's a long way to be going backwards and forwards.
It is indeed. And it was the only way that we could make it work. And whilst I did bits and pieces with work, in essence, he was really the main income earner at that stage. And so when he went back, he wouldn't obviously go just for a couple of days. It was weeks away. And the longest period he was away in our final year there was 5 months. So it wasn't an easy thing, which, it's kind of perhaps false to say he was working in Australia and France. He was a lot of the time in Australia, but we managed it with the children and him being away.
So I'm interested to know if you, before you moved to France, had you been to France? Were you able to go there and kind of check the situation out beforehand?
Not at all. Even though I had been a French teacher for a lot of years, I hadn't ever actually been to France. And it's a great question that you ask because that was also part of my motivation. I almost felt like I shouldn't be a French teacher if I hadn't experienced it properly. I had visited New Caledonia and my life was very, very French, but I still felt that there was a piece of the puzzle that meant that I couldn't be authentic, if you like. I had come to Scotland with my family when my own mother and father and sisters when I was 12, though, because my father's he was a university professor. So we had had a year living in Scotland, and that had given me a bit of a taste of what travel could bring to you individually. So, and at that stage as a family, we had traveled the continent, but we hadn't come to France. But that had been a wonderful, wonderful thing for me as a child. And so that, as well as wanting to give language to my children, was something that I wanted them to experience, living away, becoming more aware of what the world was like outside of their own little circle in Melbourne.
Yeah. So France is quite a big country, nothing compared to Australia, but even so, one of the bigger countries of Europe. How did you go about deciding where you were going to move to?
A great question again. And it came down to a moment where we had told all our friends and anyone who cared to be asking questions that we were going to France, and yet we hadn't decided where, we hadn't decided when, we hadn't decided for how long. So my husband and I were feeling the pressure, and we were together on holidays and had taken the Lonely Planet guidebook, and literally he flipped it open and it landed on Annecy, and he said, "Okay, I found this place," and he started to read aloud, and there was a beautiful lake and not very far from an international airport and with the mountains, and it just sounded so magical. And he said to me, "Have you heard of Annecy before?" And I had, but not in the way that you would usually imagine. It just happened to be one of the pages in the year seven textbook that I was using to teach French. And so that was our first introduction to Ansi as a couple. And literally we went, wow, this sounds good. Let's do some investigating. And that was how it happened. We was just random falling on that page on a particular day.
I love that. I confess I've not heard of Ansi. So whereabouts is it in the country?
In the Alps. And the best way to think of it is if you fly into Geneva, so Switzerland, and then go about 40 kilometres, you have the little section or corner between Italy and Switzerland that is almost like putting an arm around Ansi.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful spot in the east.
Fabulous. And how does life compare with Ansi to Melbourne? What's the difference in weather, first of all?
Well, Melbourne is commonly known as a place where you can have four seasons in one day, whereas in Ansi, when you are in that particular climate, you have distinct seasons, and that's something that we found totally remarkable and fascinating. So we arrived in September of the year that we arrived, and it was still hot and beautiful, and we could use the lake for swimming. And then suddenly the whole of the banks of the Ansi Lake were orange, and a really vibrant orange with the change to autumn. And then the first snow appeared on the tops of the mountains around the lake, and then winter hit us, which of course was altogether something different for an Australian family. We had no idea how to survive a French winter. And then after the winter, the spring there is again almost like a typical rebirth, because the flowers start coming up, and the council take enormous pride in the beautification of everywhere. So middle of roundabouts and pedestrian walkways and the edges of the lake, suddenly everything just looked beautiful. So we saw the four seasons. So it went from very, very cold to very, very hot, and you could really enjoy the heat and the lake, and then you could really enjoy the winter and the cold, because you could ski as well. So it's a very, very different place climate-wise, but so much else is different too. The way of life, the food, the way you socialize, the expectations you have of living. Yeah, it's all very, very different. Yeah. But I would say that both are beautiful places to live. It just happened that my heart was sort of stolen by the way of living.
So tell us about socializing. Why is that so different?
Yeah. When we got there, I think perhaps I was a little bit pig-headed about wanting us to really embrace — pig-headed is probably too negative. I was really wanting us to embrace everything that French living had without it being just an expat sort of life. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that an expat life is bad. It's just that because I did speak French and I wanted the children to experience French and they went to a French school, we associated with French families predominantly, which was just fantastic. So to answer your question, on the very first, I think, day, perhaps the second day that my oldest child, and at that stage she was 12, went to school, she came home with a handwritten invitation from one of the girls in her class, from the girl's mother, and it was inviting her to come for lunch. Now, the school system, as your listeners would be aware, is such that you have a lovely big break in the middle of the day for the students to either go home for lunch or to have a proper three-course lunch at school. And so my daughter Sophie's friend had invited her to come back to her place. Now, Sophie, my daughter, came home with a shocked look on her face to say, I can't go. I won't know how to speak. I won't know what to say. And I gently encouraged her to, and she was really good about actually going. And from there on, the family invited her every single week to have lunch with them. And initially, there were probably just very effusive exclamations about lunch and, nice, yes, good. How are you? Good. But not much more. But over time, that became a hugely invaluable source of communication and language development for her, as well as this beautiful friendship. And at the same time, when we first arrived in Annecy, we had booked just a tiny little cottage, a wooden cottage in the grounds of a bigger house, because it was walking distance to the children's school. And the mother there at the house had six children of her own, and yet she was so friendly that anything that I needed help with, she volunteered to come to the supermarket with me to make sure I got the right school equipment for the children, because even though I was a school teacher, this school and a French speaker, this school list of stationery was like another language altogether. And so she came with me to the supermarket and told me what I needed to get, including the famous chaussons, which were slippers that the children needed to wear in the classroom. Because, yeah, because again, I had no idea, but as soon as winter came around, of course, muddy boots and melting snow didn't go well with kids coming into the classroom. So they had to take those off and put on their slippers. It made so much sense. And so she invited my husband and I to have dinner with them. And it was the traditional formal. We were invited at 8 o'clock, which is dinner time. And we started with the aperitif in the lounge room. And then we went in for our three-course dinner, which included the salad and the cheese. And there was bread on the table. And then after dinner had finished, we went back into the salon for a digestif. It was just, wow, this is just amazing. And she told me that, and I had seen them actually in their lunch, in their yard at lunchtime. She told me that they quite enjoy a glass of wine with their lunch too. Now, it was nothing to excess. It was just a glass of wine. But my husband and I went home that night and thought, wow, this is how life should be, because they were working, but they were still just concentrating on the joy of being together and enjoying their meal. And yes, there was a routine to it, which we quickly adopted, I have to say, both the aperitif, but also the way that the meal progressed, with even just a salad as a single dressed salad could be your entree. But other than that, I don't know, the difference is just that when you met up with friends, or when we met up with French friends, sure, there were moments where it was a little bit laborious to start with, because in essence, I was the only French speaker to start with. So that does become hard to incorporate everybody and make sure everyone's having a good time. But they were very interested in us and Australia and very welcoming, and they would invite us to do things like go for walks in the mountains. So that was, again, a big part of socialization, which is very similar in many respects to the way we socialized in Australia. You would go for bushwalks or picnics. Yeah.
Oh, it's really nice to hear. I have to ask you about the title. It made me chuckle because it kind of reminded me of living in Spain, as I have done for, gosh, 20 years or so now. And yeah. People, you often hear, I mean, I'm talking expats, obviously, but people who aren't native Spanish saying things like, yes, but this is Spain.
Yes.
So it's a similar kind of thing, you know, when you're trying to get things done, maybe things take a little longer than they might have done in the UK or where you're from. People kind of go, yes, but this is Spain.
Yes.
So it reminded me.
Well, exactly. And funnily enough, I've said or shown the title to some French people and they laugh. They get it straight away. There's no sense of, oh, that's a little bit uncalled for. They totally get it. So what actually happened, and it was an actual incident, my daughter in her second year of France, living in France, was pretty fluent by that stage and had just started at secondary school. And yet she came home with work that was wasn't well. She didn't do well in it, and the comments on the work, again, I have to say quite typically French, because there was no black or white. You could have a single word on the bottom of a child's work saying catastrophe, which, of course, needed no explanation. But I thought, okay, look, I'm a teacher. I don't usually like to go in and question teachers' work, ethic or otherwise, but maybe just to have a conversation with the teacher about the fact that she's not French-born might help. So I organised to go and see the teacher, and we went in and had a time to see him, and he was in the classroom speaking to somebody, so my daughter and I waited outside, and then he indicated to us to follow him. There was no real friendly at that stage. We followed him into a room. We sat down on the opposite sides of the table, and I explained that she wasn't Australian, as it wasn't French, but some things were more difficult. You know, all the history that they had learnt, she had no idea of, all the French children's stories that they had learnt, she hadn't come across, and so on. And I was kind of expecting it to just be a similar dialogue to what I would have had as a teacher in Australia, where there was understanding and, oh, of course, yeah, I get it. And that we'll take that into consideration. But he literally leant back in his chair, folded his arms and looked at me strangely and said in French, mais vous êtes en France, madame, which translates to, but you're in France, madame. And I thought, oh. And when I came to finding a title for the book, we went through lots of iterations, but then ultimately I thought, okay, it's a little bit wordy, but I just think it sums up a lot. And I was really, really conscious that I did not want anything about the book to be a criticism, because we had made the choice to go and live in France. And yes, there were things that we found hard and confronting, but ultimately what we kept saying to ourselves and the children was, it's different. It's not right or wrong. It's just different.
Yeah.
And so we have to work through it being different. Mm.
Oh, it's brilliant. Great, great book, great idea. And it's lovely to hear how settled you are. It's wonderful. If people want to get a copy of the book, it's called But You Are in France, Madame. It's by Catherine Berry, who we've been chatting with. The book is available on our website, tre.radio. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. Really lovely to chat with you.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's been a great pleasure.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.